We welcome you to our evening service here in Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church. We trust that wherever you're listening, that the Lord will bless you this evening. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray for thy presence with us. We pray that thou will draw near and speak to every heart through thy precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. Returning to the hymn 251, the hymns you'll hear are hymns sung in previous services in our church. Why do you wait, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in a sanctified throng. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we come to thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we bow, God, before thee, we seek thy face this evening and we pray for thy presence and we pray for thy nearness. We pray that thou wilt speak to every heart as they hear thy word, as they hear the messages and song and the word of testimony. We pray that thou wilt speak even tonight. And, O God, that thou wilt do a work of grace in hearts for thine honour and for thy praise and for thy glory. We lift our hearts to thee, O God, in praise for all thy mercies and all thy goodness, all thy wonderful grace that has been manifested toward us. As we come, our Father, we pray that thou wilt bless thy work in these days, that thou wilt cause thy message to go out even tonight across this world, that men and women and boys and girls who are yet without hope will find hope in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those who are backslidden in heart and life, that they may be brought back to thyself. We pray for others, O God, Lord of thy people, who need thee especially in difficult and trying circumstances. We pray that thou wilt bless them, and for all of us who know Thee as Saviour, that we might be built up in our holy faith, that we might be drawn closer to the wounded side of our Saviour. We ask of Thee for Thy presence and grace in every family, with every individual. Those who are lonely at this time, put Thy loving arms about them. Those who need comfort, Lord, we pray that Thou will give comfort. Those in our own church family who have issues of health, who are hospitalized or have been hospitalized, and Lord, who are recovering at home, waiting for treatments, oh God, waiting for procedures, Lord, we pray that Thou will be with them and that Thou will bless them. For those who have known sorrow in our church family too, we pray that Thou will continue to give comfort and grace at this time. Lord, may the peace and presence of God be their portion. And we pray, Father, that Thou wouldst remember our land too and all its need. Thank Thee for the progress made with the vaccination program. We thank Thee for all the help that Thou hast given to our health services, to our government too, in decision making. Continue to give them wisdom and grace and help in days to come. We ask of Thee, Lord, that Thou wilt guide and direct in days to come in our land. And we pray that there will be a return soon to normality in our society. But Lord, through it all, we know that Thou art in control of all things. And so we submit to Thee. We ask of Thee for Thine intervention. Thank Thee, Lord, for all You've done so far. We pray that You'll continue to answer prayer and to work in these days for Thy praise, for Thy honor, and for Thy glory. Father, be with us, we pray now. Bless Thy servant as she ministers in song and as she brings a word of testimony. We pray for help and for grace given to her. And we pray Thy blessing upon all that takes place, even this evening, for Thy praise and Thy honor and glory. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're glad to have Natasha Atchison with us, and she's going to minister in song and pass on a word of testimony also.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes to the hillside, where justice and mercy embraced. There the Son of God gave His life for us, and our measureless debt was erased. Jesus, to You we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore You, behold You, our Savior ever true. Oh, Jesus, we turn our eyes to You. Turn Your eyes to the morning and see Christ the Lion awake. What a glorious dawn, fear of death is gone, for we carry His life in our veins. Jesus, to You we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore You, behold You, our Savior ever true. Oh, Jesus, we turn our eyes to You. as we turn our eyes to you.
Firstly, I would like to thank Mr. Smiley for this opportunity to give my testimony. I can think back to many times when I was a teenager and a leader at a summer camp, they would have shied away from the opportunity of giving my testimony. At that point, I felt when many others were giving their testimony, they had been through a huge hurdle in their life. Maybe they had a severe illness or backslid for many years. And I just felt that my testimony wasn't very interesting or exciting. However, I know I can say that I know that the most interesting and exciting thing that could happen in my life has happened. The Lord has saved me. Since I can remember, I was attending different local Bible clubs throughout the week. For a long time, that was 5 evenings a week. I do not know the exact date that I gave my life to the Lord, but I know I ran off the church bus one Friday evening and sat on the stairs of our house. For many years, this bothered me. I doubted myself and thought, could I really be saved if I didn't have a date? But in John chapter 5, verse 24, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There is no mention in these verses that you must know the exact date when you put your trust in the Lord, just that you must believe on him. I went to Carrick Manor Primary School and then to Regent House. Like many will say, primary school is fine, especially when it's such a small primary school, and then you move on to a larger secondary school and things can become a little bit trickier. And while I also found this to be true, you were invited to different things on a Sunday evening or sports clubs ran their matches on Sundays. I know that the Lord was always with me and gave me strength to explain that I would actually be at church during these times. Isaiah 41 verse 13 says, "For I the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee." I am very thankful to the Lord for giving me the opportunity to sing around different churches and at our own church. I do believe this was a great strength for me growing up. How could I miss a church service if I was singing at it? I was able to tell other people this, and they did understand. Something I did struggle with at times in school was making friends. I would think I'd got into a group, but then different parties started, which I was not attending, so I was running out of things in common with these girls. I prayed and prayed, and it says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." I got more involved with our scripture union, and through this I made stronger friendships, and friendships with people who I knew I could share things in common with, and also who I could take my problems to. I remember during prayer meetings before our school started, friends praying for my dad, who was backslidden at the time, and praise the Lord, Dad has returned to Christ. After Regent, I went to Stranmillers University to study teaching. After this, I started teaching in a behaviour unit in Longstone Special School, where I've recently become a permanent member of staff. Over the past few years, I got more involved with our youth fellowship in church, and at the minute we are having our services through Zoom. But the Lord has been with us every step of the way, and it is great to see the young people joining in with us each meeting. I'm married to Dale, who I met when I was 16 when we were both leaders at CEF camp, and we've been blessed with two amazing daughters, Faith, who's 2, and Paige is 10 weeks. A verse that I want to leave you with just as I finish is a verse I would always hear my mum repeating throughout the house when we were younger, and it has helped me throughout the years. Philippians 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Thank you.
I'd like to thank Natasha for those beautiful messages and song and for the word of testimony from the Lord. It's great to see a young person saved at a young age, going on with God, and now happily married with two beautiful young daughters and involved in the work of the church, singing for the Lord and also involved in our youth fellowship work. We thank God for her, continue to pray for her husband and her daughters and the family at this time, and pray that God will work in other families and work mightily to complete families in the Lord Jesus Christ. We do welcome you to our service this evening and trust the Lord will bless you as you've joined with us for this service. Could I mention the service online on Wednesday evening at 8 o'clock? We're continuing our series of studies in the book of Titus and the survey of the New Testament, and that will be followed by a season of prayer in our homes. We trust that you will join with us and then that you will have a season of prayer at home yourself or with your family. Then on Friday at 8 p.m. is our youth fellowship on Zoom, and the link will be forwarded to you beforehand for Friday evening. Next Lord's Day at 11:30 and 7, the services again online, and I hope to be the preacher at both services next Lord's Day, trusting you'll be able to join with us. Do pray for all affected by this virus and other illnesses at this time, those who have suffered bereavement, and pray for others going through treatments and procedures in the days to come. And pray for divine intervention in regard to this virus. We do thank God for all that has been done in the past months in the rolling out of the vaccines and all that has happened with that. And we praise God for answers to prayer. Our services for now will be continuing on sermon audio with a weekly meditation on Facebook and WhatsApp. offerings can be forwarded, as has been indicated already, what they are for, to indicate what they are for, and they can be forwarded to our church treasurers or retained until we return for public worship. Our presbytery at a recent meeting determined that our churches can be opened again for public worship in the beginning of March. This will only be for midweek prayer meetings and Lord's Day services for now. All health restrictions must be followed, and this decision will be kept under constant review. There will be a season of prayer this coming Saturday, the 27th of February, at 10 and to 11:30 in the morning, and then the afternoon, 2 to 3:30. This is on Zoom, and you can look out for the link so you can join us for these prayer meetings. Please engage in earnest prayer about all of these matters. It has come to the reading of God's Word. We're turning to the book of Joshua, chapter 2. The book of Joshua, chapter 2. We're reading together from the opening verse. The book of Joshua, chapter 2, and the verse number 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they come to search out all the country." And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, "There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. The men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. Before they were laid down, they came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For you have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our life for yours. If ye utter not this business, it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, let the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." And the men said unto her, "We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother, and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. It shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. If thou wilt utter this our business, then we will quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear." And she said, "According unto your word, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed, And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. The pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the 2 men returned and descended from the mount, and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. They said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious, inerrant, inspired, and infallible word to all of our hearts. Let us bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father, we turn to thee this evening hour. We pray for thy blessing upon thy word, that thou would speak to every heart through the word of God, that thou will do a work of grace, even in hearts and lives at this time, for thy praise and for thy glory. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. Amen. You'll find the text in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And these are the words. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. My subject this evening is saving faith. Saving faith. Drawing your attention again to the second chapter of the book of Joshua, which we have read together. Focusing again upon Rahab. It is worth noting that only 2 women are personally named in Hebrews chapter 11. That great hall of fame of the great heroes of the faith. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, in Hebrews 11 verse 11. And Rahab, the harlot of Jericho, in verse 31 of that chapter. Sarah was a godly woman, the wife of Abraham, and God used her to bring Isaac into the world. But Rahab was, in contrast, an ungodly Gentile who worshipped pagan gods and was given over to a life of immorality. Humanly speaking, Sarah and Rahab had nothing in common. But yet, from a divine viewpoint, they shared the most important thing in life, in that they both exercised saving faith in the true and living God. Not only does the Bible associate Rahab with Sarah, but in James chapter 2, verses 21 to 26, it also associates her with Abraham. And James, in this portion of Scripture, used both Abraham and Rahab to illustrate the fact that true saving faith always proves itself by good works. But there's more. The Bible associates Rahab with the Messiah, with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 1, we find Rahab's name listed there in verse 5. Along with Jacob and David and other famous people in the Messianic line. She has certainly come a long way from being a pagan harlot to being an ancestress of the Messiah. But the Bible says in Romans 5 verse 20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. But keep in mind that the most important thing about her, Rahab, was her saving faith. And that's the most important thing about any person. For our text declares in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him.
Of course, we must understand that not everything that is called faith is really true faith. The kind of faith that is described in the Word of God. But I suggest to you that in Rahab we have a woman who had true saving faith in the God of heaven. Let me ask you this evening, have you such faith? It is only as you have that faith that you can be sure of heaven at the end of the journey of life. And so as we look at saving faith in regard to this woman, Rahab, we notice first of all the courage of her faith. The courage of her faith. Both Hebrews 11:31 and James 2:25 indicate that Rahab had put her faith in the Lord before the spies ever arrived in Jericho. Like the people in Thessalonica, she had turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. She wasn't like the people of Samaria centuries later who feared the Lord and at the same time they served their own gods. In 2 Kings 17:33. Jericho was one of the many city-states in Canaan, each one ruled by a king, according to Joshua chapter 12. The city covered about 8 or 9 acres. And there is archaeological evidence that double walls about 15 feet apart protected the city. And according to chapter 2 of Joshua, verse 15, Rahab's house was on the wall. Meanwhile, Jericho was a strategic city in Joshua's plan for conquering Canaan. After taking it, Joshua would then cut a straight across and divide the land. And it would be much easier to defeat the cities in the south and then in the north. And 40 years before, Moses had sent 12 spies into Canaan. And only 2 of them had given an encouraging report, according to Numbers chapter 13. And Joshua had sent 2 men spy out the land, especially to get the information about Jericho. You see, Joshua was a good general. And a good general wants to know all that he can about the enemy before he goes into battle. And so it was with Joshua. How did the 2 spies make their way through the city without being immediately recognized by strangers? How did they meet Rahab? We certainly have to believe in the providence of God as we watch this drama taking place. God was at work. God was working out his plan and his purpose. As far as Rahab was concerned and her salvation, and as far as the people of God were concerned and their inheriting the land of Canaan. Rahab was the only person in Joshua who trusted in the God of Israel. And God brought the spies to her. It's remarkable how God, in his grace, uses people we might think could never become his servants. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 to 29, the Lord takes the base things. The Lord takes the things that are not, the things that are despised. He uses people that you would never think could be used or would be used in his service and for his glory. Jesus was the friend of publicans and sinners. He wasn't ashamed to have this former harlot, Rahab, in his family tree. Rahab took her life in her hands when she welcomed the spies and hid them. But that in itself was an evidence of her faith in the Lord. You see, true saving faith cannot be hidden for too long. Since these 2 men represented God's people, she was not afraid to assist them in their cause. Had the king discovered what she had done, he would have slain her as a traitor. But Rahab's faith, my friends, was conspicuous. She demonstrated by receiving the spies, risking her life to protect them. And James saw her actions as proof that she was truly a believer. In James chapter 2, verse 25, we read, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way?" You see, her faith was manifested in her works. Her faith wasn't hidden. There was clear evidence of it. The spies could tell that she was indeed a believer. The courage in her faith. Have you such faith? Saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening? And then I want you to see, secondly, the confidence in her faith. It's seen here in chapter 2 of Joshua, verses 8 to 11. You see, faith is only as good as its object. Some people have faith in faith and think that by just believing they can make great things happen. Others have faith in lies, which is not faith at all, but merely superstition. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the great preacher, reminds us that faith shows itself in the whole personality. Faith shows itself in the whole personality. True saving faith isn't just a feat of intellectual gymnastics by which we convince ourselves that something is true that really isn't true. Nor is it merely a stirring of the emotions that gives us a false sense of confidence that God will do what we feel He will do. Nor is it a courageous act of the will whereby we jump off the pinnacle of the temple and expect God to rescue us. It was mentioned in the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 to 7. True saving faith involves the whole personality. The mind is instructed. The emotions are stirred. The will acts in obedience to God. Again, referring to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 this time. "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet." And there you have the intellect. He was warned of God. The mind. "Moved with fear." There you have the emotions. "Prepared the ark." There you have the will. You see, Rahab's experience was similar to that of Noah. She knew that Jehovah was the true God. That was the mind. She feared for herself and her family when she heard about great wonders that He had performed. That was the emotions. She received the spies and pleaded for the salvation of her family. That's the will. The whole personality is involved in this faith. It is not a saving faith as the Bible describes it, unless and until the whole personality is involved. Have you this saving faith? Of course, this doesn't mean that the mind must be fully instructed in every aspect of the Bible truth before a sinner can be saved. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? She only touched the hem of the garment of Christ and she was healed. But she acted on the little knowledge she did possess. Matthew 9, 20 to 22. Rahab's knowledge of the true God was meager, but she acted on what she knew, and the Lord saved her. And Rahab showed more faith in the Lord than the 10 spies had exhibited 40 years before when she said in chapter 2 of Joshua verse 9, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land." You see, her faith was based on facts, not on feelings. She had heard of the miracles that God had performed, starting with the opening up of the Red Sea. You see, my Bible tells me tonight, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In chapter 2, verse 11 of Joshua, "The Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath." What a confession of faith from Rahab here. From the lips of a woman whose life had been imprisoned in pagan idolatry, who had been engaged in sinful immorality. She believed in one God. Not in the multitude of gods that populated heathen temples. She believed that he was a personal God. She said, your God, who would work on behalf of those who trusted in him. She believed he was the God of Israel, who would give the land to his people. And this is the God in whom she trusted. He was not limited to one nation or one land, but was the God of heaven and of earth. And Rahab believed in this great and awesome God. Do you believe in him tonight? Are you trusting in him as your Savior? Thank God you can trust him tonight, even with limited knowledge, as Rahab did. Our confidence that we are God's children comes from the witness of the Word of God before us, and the witness of the Spirit of God within us. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 to 13. 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 to 13. We read these words. Scripture tells us here in this portion, if we receive the witness of man, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. But the assurance of salvation isn't based only on what we know from the Bible or what we feel in our hearts. It is based on how we live. If there hadn't been a change, there hasn't been a change in our behavior, then it's doubtful whether we've been born again or not. The Bible talks about a person who's in Christ as a new creature. The old things of sin have passed away and all things have become new. It isn't enough to say, my friend, Lord, Lord. We must obey what he tells us to do. As Matthew 7, 21 to 27 teaches us. Rahab's obedience gave evidence to a changed life. She was a transformed person. Have you experienced that change in your heart and life? Have you come to Christ and trusted in him? I want you to see the concern in her faith. That's the third thing. Verses 12 to 14 of Joshua chapter 2. Rahab wasn't concerned only about her own welfare. For once she had personally experienced the grace and mercy of God, she was burdened for her own family and to see her own family rescued. In John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42, Andrew, having met the Lord Jesus Christ, he shared the good news with his brother Simon, and he brought him to Jesus. He was concerned about his own family. He was concerned about his own kith and kin. He was concerned about his own brother. And he told him and he brought him to Jesus. The cleansed leper went home and told everybody that he had met the Lord Jesus and what the Lord had done for him in Mark 1, verses 40 to 45. You see, the Bible teaches us in Proverbs 11, verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And Rahab wanted assurance from the two spies that when the city was taken, they would guarantee her family's safety. The men gave her that guarantee in two ways. They pledged their word, and they pledged their lives that they would not break their word. In other words, they became surety for Rahab's family, the way Judah became surety for Benjamin
in chapter 43 of Genesis, verses 8 and 9. The book of Proverbs warns against suretyship in the business world because it involves a risk that could land you in big trouble and you're losing everything you possess. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 1 and following verses. Proverbs 11, 15. Proverbs 20, 16. Proverbs 27, 13. However, in the realm of the spiritual, we are saved because Jesus Christ, who owed no debts, was willing to become surety for us. Hebrews 7, verse 22. And the next time you sing, "Jesus paid it all," remember that Jesus Christ has pledged Himself, according to this verse in Hebrews 7, 22, as the surety of a better testament. He died for us. And as long as He lives, is forever, our salvation is secure. Because of the promise of His word, the guarantee of His eternal suretyship, we have confidence that He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. The spies warned Rahab that she must not divulge any of the information to anybody in the city other than to the members of her family. If she did, their agreement was cancelled. What a contrast this is to the believer's relationship to Jesus Christ. For He wants everybody to know that He has paid the price of redemption, that they can be saved by trusting Him. If Rahab talked too much, her life was in danger. But if we don't talk enough, the lives of lost people around us are in danger. Speaking to a dear man recently, his son had trusted in Christ after many years of prayer. And he said to me, "You know, he's telling everybody about what the Lord has done for him. Going round to the neighbors to tell them. Meeting those whom he knew down the road, how he has come to Christ, how his life has changed, how he's trusted in the Savior." Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to know Christ and to spread abroad the message of salvation, to be concerned about others among our family and friends and people in general in society. So we have the concern in our faith. But then we have, finally, the covenant in her faith. Verses 15 to 24 of Joshua chapter 2. A covenant is simply an agreement, a contrast between two or more parties, with certain conditions laid down for all parties to obey. We find a number of divine covenants in Scripture. God's covenant with our first parents in Eden, in chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 16. God's covenants with Noah in Genesis chapter 9, with Abraham in Genesis 12 and Genesis 15, with Israel in Exodus chapters 19 and 20. And so we could cite other examples in Scripture of covenants. Before the two spies left Rahab's house, they reaffirmed their covenant with her. And often in biblical covenants, God appointed some physical or material token to remind the people of what He had promised. For example, in His covenant with Abraham, it was sealed by the rite of circumcision. Genesis 17, verses 9 to 14, Romans 4, 11. When God established His covenant with Israel at Sinai, both the covenant books and the covenant people were sprinkled with blood in Exodus 24, verses 3 to 8, mentioned again in Hebrews 9, 16 to 22. Remember also, God gave the rainbow as a token of the covenant with Noah in Genesis 9, 12 to 17. The Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament used the broken bread and wine as tokens of the new covenant. In the case of Rahab, the spies instructed her to bind a line of scarlet thread in the window of her house, which was built on the wall of the city of Jericho. Chapter 2, verse 18 of Joshua. This would identify the house of safety to the army of Israel when they came to take the city. The color of the thread or rope is significant, for it reminds us of the blood. You remember that was mentioned in Exodus chapter 12, when the blood was applied, the blood of the Lamb, to the houses of the Israelites. And so the scarlet thread here, or rope, marked a house on the Jericho wall where the occupants, the Jewish soldiers, were to protect. And Rahab let the men down from the window with that thread or rope and kept it in the window from that hour. This was the sure sign of the covenant that she had asked for. It's important to note that Rahab and her family were saved by faith in the God of Israel. Not by faith in the thread or the rope hanging out of the window. The fact that she had hung out that thread or rope from the window was proof that she had faith. Just as the blood of the slain lamb put on the doorposts and the lintels of the houses of the Israelites in Egypt proved that they believed God's word. Many people today believe in baptism or their participation in the Lord's table for salvation. But this kind of faith is vain. You need faith in the Lord. And Rahab had faith in the Lord. And in the covenant promises he had made to her through his servants. And she proved her faith by hanging that scarlet thread or rope from the window. When the Jews captured Jericho, they found Rahab and her family and her house, and they rescued her and them from judgment. Joshua chapter 6, verses 21 to 25. What a saving faith it was. And it is only by a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that you will be safe in the time of God's judgment. Will you place your faith now and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? I pray you will. And know with assurance that you're safe forever under the blood of the Lamb. Be able to say with the hymn writer, my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, that he died for me. Saving faith. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here was a woman saved by faith, and yet evidenced her faith by her works. The Lord had done a work of grace in the heart of Rahab. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. Oh, that tonight, if you close your eyes and sleep, that you might place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let us bow together in prayer, please. Our gracious God and loving Father, we commit ourselves to thee tonight. And we pray that thou wilt bless thy word. And Lord, that thou wilt, O God, apply it to every heart for the glory of thy great name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to our closing hymn at this stage, and you'll hear it sung, and we trust the Lord will bless the words of this hymn to your heart.
Thank you for listening to our service tonight. We trust the Lord will bless his word to your heart. If you're concerned or troubled about your soul, do make contact with us. Be happy to point you to the one who can meet your need. Let us pray. Father in heaven, apply thy word to every heart, and through the message of the gospel that thou will bring souls to know thee as their Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen.